Thank you.
So growing up, I did not like vegetables. Surprise, surprise, right? A kid who doesn't like vegetables. But I didn't. And self-admittedly, I was a bit of a picky eater. But green beans, oh, those were just the worst. Especially canned green beans. Like, oh, and we would just steam them and like, ah, just wasn't good. But as I grew up, and fast forward to when my wife and I had graduated college, we decided, you know, we should probably do the adulting thing a little bit more. Maybe upgrade our dinner from just like ramen and frozen pizzas to like an actual balanced diet with a main course and some sides and even some vegetables. And so we made the choice. We're going to keep cooking vegetables and we're going to try something new. Did you know you can roast vegetables and they taste way better? Like, and don't even get me started on sauteing them. Like, it was just like mind-blowing, opening all the possibilities. One of my favorite foods today, sauteed green beans. Now, I say that like my mom wasn't a great cook, and let me be clear, she was, but I was a picky eater. I grew up with one understanding of vegetables, that they didn't taste good, but they were healthy, so you should eat them. Roasting changed how I saw them. It brought out something that was good that I hadn't noticed in them before. Jesus does the same thing with the Old Testament law. He's showing us what's been there all along: God's goodness, his wisdom, his heart behind, underneath the commands. And so today our text is in Matthew 5, 21 through 26. It's on page 810 of your blue Bibles. And we are continuing our series in the book of Matthew, specifically looking at the teaching of Jesus called the Sermon on the Mount. And it's in this sermon that Jesus is revealing what his kingdom is going to look like. He's telling us what's important, what the ethics of his kingdom are, how his followers should live. What does it look like to have a right relationship both with God and with others? And so we start reading in verse 21. You've heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. Have you ever had something redefined for you? That something meant one thing, you saw something one way, and then you came to see it differently? This is what Jesus is doing for the Jewish law. This next section of chapter 5 is going to be filled with these statements. You have heard it said, but I say to you, Jesus is doing something intentional, where he is revealing the law that was given in the Old Testament and then explaining God's wisdom and goodness underneath that law. The first one is about murder. It's one of the Ten Commandments. It's the sixth one. And for centuries, scribes and Pharisees have been saying, as long as you don't kill someone, you are keeping that commandment. Like, okay, that's pretty good. I don't remember the last time I killed someone, so I'm doing a good job. And now, Jesus says that you have broken it, even if you're just angry with someone, if you call them a fool. Like, whoa, that's a bit of a jump. I feel like I'm angry with people a lot. How is killing someone the same as being angry with someone is just as bad as killing them? Like what? How? Why? Jesus is pointing to a reality that is so much more than just what's on the surface. It's kind of like an iceberg. You know how an iceberg, they're about only 10% is visible on top, and most of the ice, the substance, is actually underneath the water? The same is true with this. Jesus equates anger with murder. He's lumping anger and murder and name-calling all together. He's telling us that these are all external or surface behaviors that reveal a deeper internal heart posture. The substance of the ice, what's underneath the surface, is how we value or don't value another human being. How we value or don't value another person's existence. Murder is this ultimate, like, negative expression of not valuing someone else, of not seeing them as someone who bears the image of God. And murder does the same, and anger, excuse me, does the same thing. See, anger puts us on this pedestal. It allows us to look down at others, to devalue them, to think that we have this right to be over them. We commit murder with our temper, with grudges, with gossip, with neglect, or spite, or jealousy, or contempt. We murder when we dehumanize another person. I remember when I was in sixth grade, me and this guy named Max, me and Max just didn't get along. Our personalities didn't click. We were constantly bickering with one another, going back and forth. And I remember one day at recess, we were just jawing at each other. We were doing something competitive. I don't remember exactly what we were doing, but he was coming at me. I was going at him. It just wasn't going, and I was getting so angry with him. And eventually, I snapped, and I just went off on him. I insulted him. I yelled at him there in front of all of our friends. I don't remember what I said, but I remember the look on his face. I remember how much I had hurt him. My anger put me on this pedestal over him. I thought I had the right to be angry. I may not have physically hurt him, but with my words, I deeply wounded him. Jesus takes an external sin, murder, and makes it an internal heart issue. He redefines what it looks like to love others, to see others with value. Jesus is doing for the law what roasting did for vegetables. He's helping us see it differently. He's elevating it. And what I don't want to do is I don't want to stand up here and tell you you can never be angry, because the truth is we will be. Anger is a part of our emotions, and our emotions are good. God gave them to us, but we cannot be controlled by them. We have to be in check with them. So what do we do with anger? When it comes, what do we do with it? How do we process it? How do we not let it control us? You ever notice how easy it is to get angry while you're driving? Someone cuts you off. Someone's driving too fast, someone's driving too slow, someone's on their phone, someone's just like driving. I may have a problem with road rage. I remember my most recent road trip, I was in North Carolina and I was pulling out of a rest area and this semi just cut me off. And I was stuck behind him for about 2 miles, just muttering under my breath, like, this guy can't drive, what is he doing? He's not even paying attention, terrible driver, he shouldn't even be on the road. Come on. And I finally had this opportunity to pass him, and I'm like, okay, here we go. I'm going to pass him. And I was getting ready to give him that, like, mean mug, like, are you kidding me? Look, like, you know. And as I pass him, I look over, and he just gives me one of these, like, sorry. And when I saw him wave, my anger dissolved. I was reminded that he's just another human. My anger put me on this pedestal to look down on him, to devalue him, to see him as less than, acting like I've never cut somebody off before. Jesus is asking us to get off the pedestal, to value the other person, to treat them as someone who is made in the image of God. He asks us to let him transform our anger, to do something new with it, to process it in a new way, to express it differently. Brené Brown writes in her book, Atlas of the Heart, "Anger is a catalyst. Holding on to it will make us exhausted and sick. Internalizing anger will take away our joy and spirit. Externalizing anger will make us less effective in our attempts to create change and forge connections with others. It is an emotion that we need to transform into something life-giving. Courage, love, change, compassion, justice. So what do we do with our anger? How do we transform it? How do we process it? To live in the kingdom means that we will let Jesus transform our anger into something new by pursuing forgiveness and reconciliation with others. Let's keep reading in verse 23. "So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny." At the core of Jesus' work here on earth, at the core of the kingdom, is reconciliation. This act of restoring a relationship that has been harmed, of repairing, of healing a broken relationship. God is so concerned with reconciliation that he doesn't want us to worship him if we have to do the work of reconciliation with someone else. Now, I also want to say that there are some relationships where reconciliation isn't simple or safe. If you are in an abusive or toxic relationship, please hear me clearly. Reconciliation does not mean staying in that situation. Setting boundaries is not unloving. It is actually the most loving thing that we can do. It is both wise and necessary. Forgiveness is something that we are called to, but forgiveness and reconciliation are not the same thing. You can forgive someone without re-entering a harmful relationship. Reconciliation, when possible, is really beautiful, and we should pursue it, but it also must be healthy, mutual, and safe. What Jesus is doing is he's giving this general posture that his followers will be people who actively seek reconciliation with others. Anger tears down relationships. It breaks them. It separates us. My anger with Max broke that relationship. And I wish I could tell you that I did the work of reconciliation, of seeking forgiveness, but I didn't. And that relationship has never been the same. Reconciliation brings us back into relationship with others. Jesus is inviting us to step back in, to say that you are still worthy of knowing. You are worthy of forgiveness. You are worthy of love. It is seeing the other person with inherent value. And this is what Jesus models. This is what he came to do. He makes the choice to reconcile us back to himself. That's what we celebrate on Communion Sundays. The work of Jesus on the cross, his death, his resurrection. We celebrate that God has done what only he can do to provide a way for us to be in relationship with him. In a few moments, Lee will come and lead us to the authority of Jesus in our lives. He will direct our attention to the work that Jesus did on the cross and guide us in remembering him. Logistically, we have 6 stations across the front. We ask that you come up aisles 2 and 4 and go back to your seats through the middle and the outside aisles. When you come, you can choose either to serve yourself, just simply take a piece of bread and dip it in the cup, or you can choose to be served. Come with your palms up, ready to receive. You can come to any of the 6 stations in front of you. If you see something open, even if it's in the middle, feel free to jump in that line. If you are unable to come forward, just raise your hand. We want you to be able to participate. Somebody will come and serve you there. Jesus redefines what it means to interact with others, what it means to value others. He's not giving us new rules. He's not giving us a new set of behavioral things that we should do with each other. He's giving us a new heart, a new way to see people, a new way to love. He's inviting us into something deeper than just behavioral management. He's inviting us into transformation. Communion is a reminder of how far God is willing to go to be reconciled with us. So let's let this be a moment where we commit to that same love in how we interact with others. Would you pray with me? I wonder this morning if there's a place in your life where anger is controlling you. Is there someone that you are devaluing? How might be Jesus asking you to transform that relationship? Father, you want us to be free from anger. You want us to be free from being bitter, from hurting those around us. We need you to transform our hearts. We cannot do it apart from you. We need your Spirit to be active in us. Would you challenge us to live into your kingdom? Thank you for not leaving us to ourselves, but for coming to us. You have moved toward us through the death and resurrection of your Son. You want to be in relationship with us. You love us so deeply. Would that love cover us and transform us so that we can look a little bit more like your Son? We ask this in his name. Amen.
I invite you to please stand. Let's respond together.